Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Stand by for action. We are about to launch
EDL Radio.
In the next
90 minutes.
No surrender, ever.
How about that then? How about that then? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Once again, I've got to thank Dave for his slides and the great script for this evening. So I've got a big show tonight to do, so I'm looking forward to it. And we're with Dave on the show tonight, so... With that, let me continue. This is the banner of the show tonight. It's the English Defence League radio show, Turn a Left for Racism. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, and my wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. Tonight, we will be discussing topics of interest, including the strong current of racism that runs through the Marxist left around the globe. Racism is the tool of Satan, and like the left, the enemy of the people, and we'll expose it wherever it lies. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke. There's been a lot of controversy over lately with the left going after this politician, sadly back in the 1970s. So it proves that the left just don't like these great people that we look up to. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Of course, that was by the late great President John F. Kennedy. Not so much controversiality about him, but it seems Edmund Burke's here, been in the news lately. Sadly, the left, once again, they're going after good people. With that, let me pass it across the ocean, across the pond, to my dear friend and colleague over in the great Vermont. And, of course, all you great American listeners out there and across the globe, we know you listen, we see the numbers, and we love you guys. So with that, Let me throw it into your direction and catch it, mate. Over to you.
All right, Jeff, I've got it. And greetings to everyone. All right, we've got a big show tonight. We are going to talk about racism from the left. Now, lefties and their allies, like the death cultists of Islam, are always accusing anyone that's anything right of Trotsky or Karl Marx of being a racist. It's one of their favorite tools to make people feel bad, to make people shut up, to try and win the argument, because, of course, they don't have any policy that works for real people. We're going to expose some of their racism this evening, both in the UK and in the United States, and we're going to have a little bit of analysis to answer the question, why? Why is there so much racism, anti-Semitism, hate coming from the left? Then we're going to do that, but first, Jeff, we're going to start out with an EDL radio follow-up. We always like to follow up stories when we have them and things from guests that we have, and we've got a good one. But first, is there anybody in the chat?
Yes, the first gentleman in this evening is Duck Northwest Media, and he's giving us a thumbs up. English Defence League Radio, he's giving us a thumbs up there. Good to see you in the chat, as usual, Duck Northwest. So with that, Dave, over to you. Good to see you, gentlemen, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Welcome, Duck Northwest Media. Now, if you want to get into the chat and have Jeff give you a bit of a shout-out, maybe make a comment that he'll read and talk about on the show and whatnot. We podcast here live every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. in the UK. That's 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States. And to get to our live radio page and to our chat, you just have to go to blogtalkradio.com. Use the White Top Center search box. Type in English Defense League Radio Show or EDL Radio. Follow the links, and when you get to our live page, if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, then you too, logged in, can get into the chat, and we'll have a chat with you. It'll be good. All right. Now what we're going to do, we had a couple of weeks ago a dynamite show, our first one coming back from our long break, and we had Carmel Melamed, an independent journalist, Iranian-American, who was really a fantastic guest for us and imparted some great information. We now have a follow-up article that he wrote on about the 10th of this month, and this one is going to take about 8 minutes, and this will fill you in some more on the revolution that's going on in Iran, not the uprising, the revolution. Jeff, are you ready to hear this, brother?
Yes, I certainly am. I'm looking forward to the follow-up of that. I didn't know that we had the follow-up. So, yeah, go ahead, Dave, please.
All right. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
A Jewish Journal article, giving a voice to the voiceless protesters in Iran. During the last 4 weeks, as protests and social unrest have spread throughout Iran in what many are calling a new revolution, I have been fortunately enough to remain in touch via social media with many of my compatriots in Iran struggling for their freedom on the streets of various Iranian cities. Since I speak Persian language fluently and have covered the Iranian-American community as a journalist for various news outlets over the years, some of my compatriots have reached out to me directly or indirectly with their messages, photos and video footage to share with Americans. Some of them have just posted their videos and messages alone on social media crying out for help. Despite the Iranian regime's online filters and frequent shutting down of the internet throughout Iran to prevent these protesters from communicating with the outside world, they have nevertheless bravely used their own methods and technology to get their voices heard. As a result, I have shared their individual messages, news and footage through social media over the past weeks as they have requested, but now I feel further compelled to share them collectively because their cries for help from the free world have grown even louder. We don't want this regime. Perhaps the most popular and widespread message from the thousands of protesters through more than 80 cities and towns throughout Iran has been a call for regime change in the country. Protesters have been clearly expressing this message by chanting popular slogans such as, we don't want the Islamic Republic, or, death to the dictator, or, death to Khamenei, or, death to the Islamic Republic. Some videos posted by the protesters in Iran only show dozens of apartment buildings with their lights on at nights and random people's voices shouting out from the apartments, death to the dictator, or, death to Khamenei. Likewise, there have been countless photos from the protesters and high school-aged students in class gesturing their middle fingers at photos of Iran's supreme leader or young adults making the same gestures at the regime's authorities during their protests. In some other videos, young Iranians are burning photos of the regime's late founder Ayatollah Khomeini. In their posts, Iranian protesters have been demanding a totally new democratic government that offers them wide freedoms, equal rights, a secular society tolerant of all and better opportunities for themselves in the future. In many of the Iranian cities, protesters have been frequently spray painting messages on street walls with messages saying, "We will fight, we will die, but we will free Iran," or, "We are no longer afraid, we will fight. Women, life and freedom." At the same time, Iranian women protesting have been the most vocal and angry with the regime. From day one of the protests, women in the streets have been chanting the most popular slogan of the uprising, "Women, life and freedom." The message behind is the slogan is that Iran's women are tired of being treated as second-class citizens and want a normal life and basic freedom to live their lives as they wish without any restrictions from the government. The videos from the protests show Iranian women not only chanting anti-regime slogans, but also burning their hijabs or mandatory Islamic head coverings required by Iran's Islamic regime for all women to wear in public. The act of removing the hijab alone in public by a woman is dangerous in Iran as violators can face up to 10 years in imprisonment and even lashes to their bodies as punishment. Nevertheless, many of these brave Iranian women continue to burn the hijab defiantly and are still willing to face any consequences. In their videos, they relay messages saying they have reached a boiling point and can no longer live under such suffocating social constraints in Iran. At the same time, many women in Iran are also publicly cutting their hair as an act of civil disobedience against the regime and have posted their haircutting videos on social media as well. Brutality of the regime's security forces. The most difficult video footage shared by protesters in Iran to view are those of the regime's armed guards randomly shooting innocent people on the streets with live ammunition and beating protesters in the head with batons. Some videos show the Iranian regime's thugs pulling women without hijabs by the hair and throwing them against the concrete sidewalks. There are also photos and videos of many young Iranian men and women who were shot in cold blood by the regime because they protested. Perhaps the most heartbreaking videos are those of the parents and family members crying hysterically at the graves of the young protesters who were killed by the regime. One recent video posted from Iran featured a young couple being beaten by a group of regime security thugs with batons and the man in the video crying out loud, "Don't beat my wife, she's pregnant." Other videos posted on social media show the regime's paramilitary, Basji, forces riding around in motorcycles and shooting live ammunition into large crowds of protesters in various cities in Iran. No internet access and social media censorship. Another major complaint I have received throughout the weeks from individuals protesting in Iran have been the Iranian regime's prolonged and frequent shutting down of the internet, not just in specific cities but nationwide. The Iranian regime has now and over the years shut down the internet because of their fear that messages, video footage or photos of their brutality against the innocent protesters getting out to the rest of the world will cause an international uproar over their actions. Additionally, other protesters in Iran have complained about U.S.-based social media companies such as Instagram and Facebook frequently blocking or taking down their posted videos and photos from the protests that they have posted on these platforms. Since when did Instagram and Meta agree to become the unofficial censors for the Ayatollah regime here in Iran? "We thought America was the land of free speech," asked one of the protesters in Iran in his message to me. "They're just young people, WHO want a better future." One of the most surprising aspects of the new Iran revolution, which most Americans do not realize, is that most of the protesters are teenagers and young people. They typically age in the range of 16 to 22 and are demanding a better future for themselves. "We're cleaning up this huge mistake our parents and grandparents made in 1979 when they allowed Khomeini and these clerics to take power and destroy our country," stated one protester to me his message. Other young people protesting have said they want greater freedoms and no restrictive Islamic restrictions on their private lives. The young protesters have also found a popular anthem called Barai for their new revolution, which was sung and circulated on social media by the popular young Iranian singer Shervin Hajipour. The song garnered over 40 million views in the first 48 hours of its release online. Hajipour was subsequently arrested by the Iranian regime's security apparatus for making the song, but later released. Interestingly, many of the younger protesters in numerous Iranian cities have also been chanting slogans in support of Iran's past king, Reza Shah, the late Shah's father, who died in 1944. The main slogan they have chanted is Reza Shah, Ruhat Shad, which translates to Reza Shah, God bless your soul, which is an expression of Iranian nationalism and solidarity. The main reason they recall Reza Shah is because this king massively modernized Iran at the start of the 20th century, removing old social Islamic restrictions on women and severely restricted the influence and power of Islamic clerics in the country. Israel and Palestine. Last week, many protesters in Tehran in one social media video angrily tore down and defaced street signs in the city with the names of the Islamic Republic and Palestine. One of them sent me a message saying, "We don't give a F about Palestine. We've seen the Israelis supporting us 100% during this revolution while the Palestinians have remained silent." Likewise, many protesters in Iran have voiced appreciation in their social media posts to Israelis for their public demonstrations in support of their revolution. Carmel Melamed is an award-winning Iranian-American journalist based in Southern California. Follow his regular reporting on events in Iran on Twitter, at Carmel Melamed.
And welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Dangerman Mitchell. Jeff,
wow.
Your views.
Powerful, powerful stuff. And yes, it's good to see that their revolution is definitely not going away, even though the forces out there are trying to stop the world from hearing exactly what's going on inside the country. The fight continues, ladies and gentlemen, and it's the same story. People will fight for freedom, whether it's death for freedom. That's the way, victory of freedom. You know, it's something that people have done for centuries, probably for thousands of years. When you've got tyrants ruling with their absolutely dictatorship, that sort of thing, these young Iranians, you know, with a Persian background, are very, very well-educated people. They don't like this style of governing. They preferred the Western style when the Shah was there. They had Western clothes. People enjoyed going to there. And they want that back. They're fed up with this terrible regime as doing horrific things to the young people out there. But you know what? They're not going away. There's more of them than the regime. Even though they think they can shoot bullets at them, they're still outnumbered them by about 1,000, 2,000 to 1, something like that, maybe more. But anyway, God bless them. Keep the fight strong, brothers and sisters. Never give up, never give in, and of course, never surrender. You will prevail. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, nice one, Jeff. Yeah, and there is a thread going through much of the media right now. Conservative media, sadly, is buying into this, and it is the narrative seems to be, well, the Iranians go through this once every few years, and then it's put down, and they, you know, this will continue on and on forever. And as I said when I discussed this matter with Kenneth McClinton on the Exceptional Conservative Show, which can be heard on TECN.TV every Friday morning at around 2 a.m. in the UK, and that's every Thursday at after about 10 p.m. in the United States. There is one thing that these people are all ignoring, and that is the cumulative effect of the social movement. This has been going on for years, and these people are ready for a basic change. And while the pundits are correct and there is no leadership now, I believe leadership will emerge. And if the free countries of the world are careful about who they support in this, then they could remove a terror-enabling regime, which is Iran, and replace it with a far, far more moderate regime that is ready to take care of its own people and not to spread murder and hate around the world. And one other thing before I go off of this, Jeff, there was a recent article where Elon Musk was going after President Trump and calling Truth Social a right-wing echo chamber and saying that people shouldn't leave Twitter. Of course people are leaving Twitter. Of course people are leaving Facebook because they're doing things exactly like what Carmel talks about in this article. They're taking down these posts from these young revolutionaries. They've been picking sides. They've been telling people, you can't say this and you can't say that because it's hate speech or because it's dangerous speech. Jeff and listeners, they're promoting hyphenated speech. And in a free world, my friends, there is no such thing as hyphenated speech. There is only speech. Jeff, do you have any further comment, or is there anything out of the chat before we move into our main subject, brother?
Well, as you say, at the beginning there was the word, and the word, you know, that we know what that's all about. So, free speech, and it seems like, sadly, Facebook, or Meta, whatever you want to call it now, and Twitter are all this left-wing Marxist maggots now. And I'm glad I'm on Getter. I love Getter. I love getting away from Facebook and all that. And so do you, Dave. You know, it's sad that a lot of people are turning away. Yes, Twitter will die and so will Facebook, because something will turn up much, much better and do everything that we ever wanted, you know, and our platforms to be about, instead of having this thing forced upon us. If you say anything, you know, you're blocked, you're banned, you're stuck in the Facebook prisons, and you know, we don't need that. We don't need that. We like to be free, to be able to speak our minds without fear of, being tossed off and banned. But anyway, Dave, I just want to make that comment there. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. All right, yeah, and I completely agree. And by the way, everybody, Jeff Mitchell is Nightlight 777 on Getter. That's Knight Light 777. And I am UBG Contact on Getter. So we spend a bit of time on there, a bit more time than we would other places. And, yeah, check us out there. I'm also on Agador, on Gab. That's another great place that I like to visit. And, the alternate media is bringing in the best people. And if Elon Musk doesn't understand this, then he shows he's further out of touch as he is with his choice of space vehicles. But that's a conversation for another day. All right. Now, Jeff and listeners, we're going to get into our main topic, which is unusual for our show. We don't usually talk about racism on our show. That's usually the province of the left. The left will pick someone, oh, isn't this racist? Ooh, all these right-wing people are racist. Ooh. Well, we're going to point out some racism from the left, and we're going to tell you guys why the left is soaked in racism. Racism is a common thread that runs through the left. And we're going to explain to you why. And we have two different things that we're going to play for you for that. And Jeff, do we have anything out of chat before we get into this first one? from the UK.
Let me just check right now. No, it's still quiet at the moment. It's quiet at the moment, mate.
All right, guys. This one is 5 minutes long, and it comes from the 27th of last month. But it's very, it's relevant to what we're going to be talking about. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Left-wing racism, MP suspended after calling Chancellor Kuertang only superficially black, by Peter Cattell on September 27, 2022. Britain's finance minister is only superficially black because he went to a good private school and you wouldn't know his ethnic identity from hearing him on the radio are among the racist claims that have seen a prominent left-wing MP suspended from her party today. Labour MP Rupa Hook was suspended by her party after demands for such gained traction on Tuesday after leaked audio emerged of her attacking the UK's Chancellor for the Exchequer, Kwasi Kwarteng, over his race. Hook is reported as making the comments at a Labour Party conference event about race which was held on Monday, which have since been lambasted as exemplifying racist tropes. In the recording released by Westminster gossip blog Guido Fox, Hook can be seemingly heard arguing that Kuertang does not sound like a black man when interviewed. He's superficially a black man, the Labour Party politician said. But he went to Eton College, he went to a very expensive prep school, all the way through the top schools in the country. If you hear him on the Today radio program, you wouldn't know he's black, she went on to say. The site then reports that the event's chair, Sundar Katwala, then intervened, emphasizing that Kuertang being a conservative does not make him not black, before arguing that the Labour Party needed to be careful with such statements. Evidently the hardline Corbynite MP was insufficiently careful on this occasion. However, as according to The Guardian, Hook has now been suspended by her party. Those expressing concern over Hook's implication that race is linked to politics and that racial identity can be stripped away for having the wrong politics or life experiences includes Anglican priest and political pundit Calvin Robinson, who told Breitbart London that Hook's statements exemplified racist tropes which are increasingly popular amongst the hard left that a person's skin color should determine their thought process, their politics and their opinions. If the Labour Party truly wants to shed its image of being a racist party, after the now infamous EHCR ruling, they should remove the whip from Hook and suspend her from the party with immediate effect, Robinson said, arguing that there should be no place for racism in British politics. However, before suspending the politician, the Labour Party's response to such criticism had been otherwise rather muted, with senior leftist David Lammy only going so far as to describe the statement as unfortunate, before saying that he hopes she is able to stand those comments down. While Hook's statement appears to have caused a lot of outrage in Britain, as mentioned by Robinson, the basic concept of the slur is far from original, with those on the left having frequently in the past questioned someone's minority status based on their personal politics. Perhaps the most famous instance of this phenomenon occurred back in 2020, with then-presidential candidate Joe Biden claiming that any African-American man who could not decide whether or not to vote for him over Trump simply was not actually black. If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black, the now-president claimed during an interview with American rapper Charlamagne Tha God. More recently, a senior member of New York's Black Lives Matter movement branded the city's mayor, Eric Adams, a coon over his alleged use of right-of-center talking points. So, let's get back to Eric Adams, BLM's Hawk Newsom said. This mayor who's a Democrat, but he spews conservative and Republican talking points. At the end of the day, we have a name for someone like this, he continued. And this is someone we'd call a coon, right? Statements in the past from black conservatives indicate that such occurrences are unfortunately not all that rare, with Republican Senator Tim Scott saying that he has frequently been slapped with racial slurs over his views. I get called Uncle Tom and the N-word, by progressives, by liberals, the GOP politician said last year. 100 years ago, kids in classrooms were taught the color of their skin was their most important characteristic, and if they looked a certain way, they were inferior, he continued. Today, kids again are being taught that the color of their skin defines them, and if they look a certain way, they're an oppressor. Hear me clearly, America is not a racist country, Scott went on to say. It's backwards to fight discrimination with different discrimination. Such racial slurs are not unknown in the UK either. black conservative Sean Bailey has been the subject of these attacks, with Breitbart London reporting back in 2018 that left Twitter had said he was a coconut, Uncle Tom, and a token ethnic. In 2021, a left-wing academic at the UK's Leeds Beckett University was sacked after calling Anglican priest Calvin Robinson a coconut. Follow Peter Cattle on Twitter, @Peter_Cattle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
Not uncommon at all. Welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your comments.
Well, all the comments I heard was despicable. You know, I'm not even going to say the names that was used, but it's totally despicable. And we've, you know, this is the things they try to keep quiet. Unfortunately, they're doing it in public, open. So, of course, this is why some of them made to stand down. And I think it's disgraceful. No one should be involved in politics by having a go at someone for their racial ethnicity. This is wrong. And I will stand against people who do that. It's evil. And they talk about people on the right saying doing these things. It's them. It's the left. And you can see anti-Semitism, racism. They're blaring with it, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and there you go. This is not what we're saying. This is public knowledge. Public knowledge is, you know, it's always us who's taken a flat. You know, you're right wing. We're not right wing. I'm not even politically orientated. But we still called, oh, you're on the right side of things. No, we are right, but we are positively right, not wrong like the left is. I just want to get out of there because I don't like talking about it because, you know, it's boring, but they are causing these problems. It's not people like us who like the truth. That's why I love doing these shows, because I love the truth. So do you, ladies and gentlemen. So does my dear friend and colleague, Dave. Back to you, mate.
Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, you were doing that. And I was going, yeah, go on, Jeff, go on. Yeah, I mean, great points you're making there. And yeah, as with everything else that the left accuses other people of, you can guarantee that they're neck deep in it. Whatever the left is accusing their enemies of, they are in it up to their necks, up to their noses. You know, they have to tilt their heads back just so they can breathe. And racism and anti-Semitism and hate mongering is definitely among them. And they do this as a matter of course, not only publicly, but privately. And we're going to prove that now with something that came out of Los Angeles this week. And Jeff, I'm going to hit that, but first, is there anything out of the chat, my brother?
It's quiet at the moment. I've seen Bigfoot enter the fray tonight, but Duck, he's just sitting there listening to the show. I hope you're enjoying the show, buddy, by the way. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Duck, throw a comment in if you want to. Okay, guys. Now, this comes from the second hour of the Exceptional Conservative Show, which occurred on Wednesday of this week, and it was quite a show. And Ken McClinton, who is a friend of the show, did this because he wanted to point out the left-wing racism. And see, Ken, guys, did not know that I had already picked and told Jeff about the previous story that we did. We already had this in the pipe. But Ken went off on his own, as he usually does, and does an excellent job at 9 p.m. Eastern in the United States, and that's 2 a.m. on in the U.K., weeknights. He does an excellent job all on his own, because that's the way he is. He's like us. We like him. Our shows, by the way, reflect at the TECN.TV radio page. and that includes archive shows, guys. So, we're going to go ahead and run this one. It's going to last 10 minutes. Give this a listen, and you've just heard the perspective from the UK. Let's listen to the perspective on the same note from the West Coast of the United States. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Apparently, Nuri Martinez received a phone call. She's the president of the Los Angeles County City Council from the president of the United States, the White House. And it was not to invite her to the next Hispanic celebration. No Hispanic Christmas for you, sister. Well, he invited her to do one thing for the good of the Democrat Marxists. Because there's only, like Mark Cuban said, there's only room for two fools on a team. I'm sorry, one fool on a team. You can't have two. One fool. And the one fool that we have on the team right now is Joe Biden, who is just eternally racist. He is just, he and his wife, Jill, I guess they count as one. They are eternally racist. The most racist president we've had since Woodrow Wilson. And so he picks up the phone, the chief of racism picks up the phone and he calls the president of the Los Angeles City Council to tell her that her racist diatribe, her monologue, her conversation with Latinx, racist. L.A. County, you are so racist. You are the most racist county in America. Now, and don't even point back to Alabama or Georgia or Texas. Don't do that. Y'all are racist, freaking racist. Well, Nuri had a problem with the black kid who was adopted by the white council member, and she let it go. And what I'm going to play for you tonight is exactly what she said. Now, some of you would say, well, she had a right because she was angry with the misbehaving black kid. But the point of the matter was her referencing to him, because everyone knows he is the son of the council member, the referencing to his skin color, which was okay. It was okay amongst the four people who were holding the conversation. So racism is acceptable in conversation amongst Democrat Marxists as long as you're not being taped.
A major story this morning calls for L.A. City Council President Nuri Martinez to resign.
This all comes after racially charged comments were recorded and then leaked online. We have team coverage. Kara Finstrom is live at City Hall with those recordings. And Tina Patel has more reaction and protests. We will start off with Kara in downtown L.A. Kara.
Good morning. Nuri Martinez, the president of L.A. City Council here, made those shocking comments allegedly during a redistricting meeting with L.A. Labor Federation President Ron Herrera and council members Kevin De Leon and Gil Cedillo. Take a look. The audio recordings posted on Knock L.A. allegedly catch Martinez using foul language while making numerous racially charged statements and slurs. The most striking surround Councilman Mike Bonin's two-year-old son, suggesting the child was acting inappropriately during the 2017 Kingdom Day parade, then calling him a little monkey in Spanish. The LA Times reports the comments were recorded almost a year ago and that De Leon also refers to Bonin as a fourth black member of the city council. Here's part of what Martinez allegedly said.
This white guy with this little black kid, I was like, this kid is a beat down. Like, let me take him around the corner and then I'll bring him back. There's nothing you can do to control him. And I'm just like, oh my God.
You know, she is the president of the LA City Council. She sets the standard for decorum of the entire city council. So I find it really problematic that this kind of language would come from her.
CBS2 has not independently confirmed this, but Martinez not denying the validity, saying, in a moment of intense frustration and anger, I let the situation get the best of me. I hold myself accountable for these comments. For that, I am sorry. Councilman De Leon says this. There were comments made in the context of this meeting which are wholly inappropriate. I regret appearing to condone and even contribute.
I want to let you all know something. That was a Freudian slip. It is the mainstream media, which is racist in its own right, trying to cover for another racist. And what she was trying to infer was that this was a holy and private meeting, that this was amongst the elitists, that they have the privilege of confined speech. They can say what they want. Their free speech is okay. And it seems acceptable amongst all of them that this is racially acceptable. She was talking to three other council members. So I would presume, as the young woman stated, that it's a standard. All of them do it. That it's okay. Not one person is worried that that gay couple adopted a black kid. Why a black kid? All the white kids in the world who don't have a daddy, don't have a mommy, and you got a black kid. What was that for? Really? Will we see him 15 years from now walking around with a purse looking like Dwayne Wade's kid or Magic Johnson's kid? Will that be the... Is that the objective here, that we're going to gender bender a black kid? Talk about racism in spades. Oh, is that racist? Racist in spades, ladies and gentlemen. They were wholly inappropriate, as unto your God.
To certain insensitive comments made about a colleague and his family in private, I have reached out to that colleague personally. And Councilman Bonin has also reacted, saying, "We are appalled, angry, absolutely disgusted that Nuri Martinez attacked our son with horrific racist slurs. It is vile, abhorrent, and utterly disgraceful."
Wait a minute. What about the other people? They were joining in. They were amen in the situation. And you're only angry with Nuri? Really? And by the way, why'd you adopt a black kid? No, I'm just asking. Was that racially motivated? Is that necessary to adopt a black kid so that you can teach him the pearls of manhood, taking it from behind? What? I'm sorry? What? Is that what you're teaching him, right? Your gay relationship, you're teaching him to take it from behind. What? One of you is. I digress.
The city council needs to remove her as council president immediately, and she needs to resign from office. Now, back here live, there were other comments regarding Koreatown that involved another council member, Gil Cedillo, and we'll have more on that coming up in our next half hour. All right, Carl.
They can't stop it. It's a flood of racism flowing from the city hall. We're racist, and we're bigoted. And we're okay with it. I don't understand. Everyone else around us is.
Thank you. And Nuri Martinez's remarks are sparking outrage.
Her remarks sparked outrage. And you got to ask yourself the real question here. The real question is, why the outrage? Why were people outraged? Why were people angry? Was it the way the gentleman said that she alone, talk about hyperbole, she alone set back racial prosperity and racial harmony? She alone set it back with these remarks of calling the little black boy who was adopted by two gay people. Both of you all seem to be making some very mistaken racial things here, but the two gay people who adopted the black boy and let him run around and play and destroy and do whatever he wanted to do, she called him a little monkey. Wait a minute. Does anybody remember Daryl Green being called a little monkey on NFL Monday night by a certain Howard Cosell? She's just learning what they taught, you know, It's a Democrat thing. I don't know why you're so angry. I'm only doing what you all do at home. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just letting you know that when the President of the United States considers your remarks racist, you are really freaking racist. You are part of the club. He's going to get you a jacket, sister. a green jacket. He's going to put it on your shoulders. It's going to be a whole little ceremony and everything that you and your three friends or whatever. And maybe even throw in that gay couple that adopted the black boy, the little black monkey. The gay guy who adopted the black monkey. Yeah, get him. Get him to come. Yeah, that was really, that was not discrimination at all. That was diversity.
And there you go. That's the perspective from this side of the pond in Los Angeles, California. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff.
Well, it's quite
your
open,
views, brother.
Isn't it, that the left side of things are definitely sick, perverted, whatever you want to call it, and the name calling again, it really gets to me. I hate, you know, using certain names towards people is outrageous. That's what I felt, you know. There was a certain term that was used. I just thought, you know, it just... We never even think about using terms like that. But these people just use it automatically. They can't stop themselves. And then they wonder what all the hoo-ha is all about, because people are not happy with it. You know, but it's an everyday thing with these Democrats. They do it all the bloody time. Joe Biden, Jill Biden, they're just... But they're all in it together. But we don't forget where the KKK come from. All this crap about right, blah, blah. It's a left thing. And always has been. And always will be. Until hopefully one day we see the back of this horrible cult thing of theirs. Back to you, Dave.
Hey, absolutely. Let's have a little bit of background on that. Ken was referring, when he talked about Joe Biden's own racism, he called Senator Robert Byrd his mentor. Now, Senator Robert Byrd began his early life as a, and I don't know where this is as far as being upwards in that organization, as a grand cyclops in the Ku Klux Klan. And the guy spent forever in the U.S. Senate. And here it, Joe Biden is, oh well, he's my mentor. Really, dude? And you're gonna accuse President Trump of being a racist and all of these kinds of things and then call this woman who was the president of the Los Angeles City Council and tell her that she's gotta resign. Come on, man. I mean this thing happens all the time. We have a show over here in the United States called The View, all right, and it's basically these three or four, I'll be genteel here, older ladies who are all gigantic leftists, and they do nothing but go on for 1 hour, 2 hours, however long their show lasts. I mean, I'm sure that it would seem like it would last 6 hours if anybody with any sense watched it. One of them was called on her behavior. Joy Behar is her name, and I always call her Joyless Bass. And I always call her Joyless Bassnor. This woman went to a party not just in blackface, but in completely black makeup with hair and everything, and she was called on it, and on The View, on air, they popped up the picture of her looking like that, and she said, no, I went dressed as a beautiful black woman. I wasn't in blackface. See, it's, as far as they're concerned, it's okay if you're a leftist and you do it. It's okay if you're a leftist in the UK and you call the Chancellor of the Exchequer superficially black because he doesn't get on the microphone in a radio interview and shuck and jive like Diamond and Silk. All right? This is common. It's commonplace. And as I said in the script, Jeff approved the script, Racism is a tool of the devil, okay? I'll say that, and I'll say it without reservation. It's a tool of the devil. And yeah. the question is, why do the left do this all the time? What's their motivation? I mean, Jeff, you remember, I know, and I certainly do, even though I was younger than you were back in the day, and, well, still am, but I'm talking about, you know, back in the 1960s, you were a teenager, and, you know, I was just a kid growing up and first looking at politics. What did we hear from the left? Peace, love, harmony, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Ooh. And
yeah, we looked at them in a different light back then, Dave. I'll be honest with you. You know, everybody in this country who's a working man should vote for Labour. All the ones that had a bit of money voted for Conservative. That was the way it was back in the day. You know, it was either side was liberal. But then it changed, you know, as time went by. You know, say back in the time, the people used to vote for Labour or Conservative. They lived up, say, Chiselhurst or somewhere around there, they used to vote for Conservative because you knew it. That's the area that they would vote for, Conservatism. So that's, you're so right there. But sadly, that of people back then has changed vastly from the 60s, when I was a kid growing up, 50s, 60s, you know, to see the times that we live in now are totally, it's like being turned upside down. I mean, the left are more like the neo-fascist Nazis who they talk about all the time. And that's what we got now. And the conservatives is like a watered-down conservatism, and basically far left as well. What a shambles our politics are in, Dave, isn't it? Upside down, inside out, and I don't know where, up in space somewhere. Back to you.
Oh, well, Jeff, I hope it's not up in space, because if it is, then you're going to have a lot of really, really angry space aliens. But, brother, I think it might be time. I think it might be time for you to call back. Yeah, exactly. I think it might be time for you to call back in if you want to do that. And I'll go a little bit further on this topic.
Oh, my goodness,
and
man. Has it come back quick, Dave?
Yes, it has.
I'll catch you in a minute.
All right. Now, guys, Jeff's going to call back in. And when he does, I'm going to get into why, because this is, we can point out example after example of the left doing this stuff. And it doesn't, okay, it gets the point across that the left are the actual ones who are racist, but who controls most of popular media? It's not us. It's not, you know, the good common sense people. It's the left and the hard left at that, as Jeff said. You know, the good old-fashioned people, what we would call over here in the United States, you know, the Kennedy Democrats who just wanted to see poor people taken care of, have been overwhelmed here in the States, in the UK, in Europe, all over the world by Marxists. So it's different now. And we have to ask the question, why is it that they feel that they can be racist among themselves, they can be openly racist, they can be anti-Semitic, they can monger hate, they can send out mobs to burn down buildings and beat people up and murder people and all of that. How can this possibly be? And I was contemplating this after Ken's show on Wednesday, and I came up with the answer, and the answer is fairly simple. All of the left's philosophies and all the things that they have are based on Marxism. Now, most people say that, and then they stop. Okay? I say, well, there it is. It's based on Marxism. So there you go. But there's a layer deeper than that. And the layer deeper than that is that Marxism itself is at least partially based on atheism, which is based in humanism. This is a branch of thinking that came out of the European Renaissance. There were a lot of good things that came out of the European Renaissance, but one of the bad things that came out was this move towards atheism that was called by a few names, but humanism was one of them. And this is one of the things that Karl Marx latched onto when he wrote his Communist Manifesto. Now, what does that teach us? What that teaches people, what atheism teaches its followers is that they are like God, that there is no God, that they are God on earth. And what that does is it invites Satan in. The moment someone begins thinking these thoughts, then Satan kind of goes, you know, his you know, little pointed ears perk up, and he goes, hey, it's time for me to play. And suddenly a person who has these philosophies, whether it's hard left socialism, whether it's communism, Trotskyism, Marxism, anything like that, they feel that they are like God and that they can do whatever they want. They can say whatever they want. They can hurt, use, murder, do whatever they want to whoever they want. That is why these leftists will come out with this horrible racism, and then at the end they'll say, ah, yeah, but of course we're on the right side of history because in the end we're humanist. Jeff, I'd like to hear what you think of that and see if there's anything out of the chat.
Oh, I think that was very interesting, what you're saying there, Dave. I've tended to look rather deep into that myself, and I suppose I've got the same sort of thinking to yourself. It's a hollow, basically. You know, they come down as though they're gods themselves, and I like your thinking about it, Dave, you know, and there's no feelings of hurting people or killing people. It makes them, I don't know, what do you call people that just like to hurt people and cause as much harm as possible? Masochists, sadistic, whatever. But, Dave, you know, I haven't thought of it quite as deep as you did. And I'm quite impressed with what you've had to say there. And do you know what? I cannot disagree. I cannot disagree with anything you said there. Back to you, mate.
All right. Well, I'm just wondering if Duck Northwest Media or anybody else in chat has any comments based on this or anything else.
No, it's quiet at the moment, actually. Ducks, I just think, just listening in and just listening to the show and enjoying the show, what we're doing tonight. You know, we're doing something totally different tonight. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. All right. Well, guys, when someone accuses the EDL or Tommy Robinson or people who agree with them of being racist, this conversation might be one that you want to pass around and think about, because this is truly something that is a characteristic not of the right but of the left. And as long as people know this and understand this, they'll understand that the hate and the dehumanization are coming from the left, and they will resist. Now, Jeff, you've spoken a little bit about this story that came out on the 27th of August. So we're going to go back a little ways. This story came out, guys, right before that we went off on our long break. Okay, and it happened like the day after. Well, it happened pretty soon after we had done our final show, and I was ready to tear down all my equipment and begin my move. Okay, but I knew that Jeff would be interested in this story, and he's alluded to it a few times. So we're going to go ahead and run this one. And this is a 4-minute story out of Breitbart. And, Jeff, if you're ready, we're going to go ahead and run this one. You ready, buddy?
Yeah, let's roll, Dave.
All right, guys. All right. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Abolitionist father of conservatism Edmund Burke put on BLM-inspired slavery shame list by Kurt Vindelka on August 27, 2022. British statesman and slavery abolitionist Edmund Burke, widely regarded as one of the fathers of conservatism, has been added to a BLM-inspired shame list by UK parliamentarians for historical figures with supposed connections to the slave trade. Despite never owning slaves himself, and his fierce opposition to the barbaric practice, Edmund Burke's statues and portraits are now under review for possible removal from the Palace of Westminster by a group of MPs tasked with assessing the building's artwork to see if they fall in line with woke progressive standards. According to a report from the Times of London, the father of conservatism has been listed in the review of those who supported slavery, or had financial or family interests in the transatlantic slave trade and slavery, due to his brother profiting from slave plantations in the Caribbean. There is no suggestion that Burke himself profited, however. The review, which was sparked by the resurgence of the Black Lives Matter movement in Britain in 2020 following the death of George Floyd in America, will seek to transform Parliament's art collection to become more representative of diversity. The cross-party review is being led by Speaker Sir Lindsay Hoyle's Advisory Committee on Works of Art in the House of Commons and is chaired by Conservative MP Dean Russell. The addition of Burke has led to backlash on historical grounds, with King's College, Cambridge professor of political thought Richard Burke describing his inclusion on the list as nonsense. It's definitely nonsense that Burke was a supporter of the slave trade. He was a critic of slavery from his first recorded views. He found it abhorrent, he told The Telegraph. Being an abolitionist is a little more complicated. He supported immediate abolition in the late 1780s, but then retracted during the French Revolution. The moment, he thought, was not right. In general terms, Burke opposed slavery but not its forthright abolition. Before abolition, he proposed alleviating the barbarities of the trade itself. Given these complexities, there are commentators out there who conclude that because he had a scheme for reforming the trade, he was a supporter of it. Ideology knows no bounds, he said. Burke had also campaigned for the impeachment of the governor of Bengal, Warren Hastings, over the colonial injustice under his rule. An Irish-born British statesman who served in Parliament as a Whig from 1766, Burke's writings have become central to political conservatism, notably in the United States. Burke, who expressed sympathy for the American Revolution, is perhaps best known for his 1790 pamphlet Reflections on the Revolution in France, which accurately predicted that the leftist revolution would descend into a bloody tyranny. Praising Burke as a figure of conservative admiration, British wartime leader Sir Winston Churchill wrote in his 1932 essay Consistency in Politics that Burke was the foremost apostle of liberty, on the other as the redoubtable champion of authority. His soul revolted against tyranny, whether it appeared in the aspect of a domineering monarch and a corrupt court and parliamentary system, or whether, mouthing the watchwords of a non-existent liberty, it towered up against him in the dictation of a brutal mob and wicked sect. Follow Kurt Vindelka on Twitter here at Kurt Vindelka.
And welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your views?
Well, you know, when Sir Winston Churchill made a mention about Edmund Burke, then you know that Edmund Burke was very, very important to conservatism and abolition of the times. That is why we use all that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing by Edmund Burke. And it's the most profound words that you can use. And this is what's happening in the world. That's why it's here. This is why we base two little statements, one from Edmund Burke and one from President John F. Kennedy. And these left-wing idiots out there just don't understand real politics and the real things that make the world tick. Sadly, BLM and all that is cobblers. They just don't understand. They will never understand. And they want to change the face of conservatism for the rest of the day. But it's not going to happen. Because it's like taking a knee. In the end, club teams No, we're not doing that no more. We're not doing that. We're not. Oh, no. There's too many problems caused by doing that. We, my club, never did it. And we took the stick for it. But we never took a knee for no one. Back to you, Dave.
Pretty profound stuff there, Jeff. And, exactly. Yeah, what this is basically a slam at conservatism, because the terror organization BLM knows that they represent hate, they represent Marxism. As a matter of fact, the former heads, at least, of the American BLM said that they were trained Marxists. So they don't care about black lives. They don't care about any lives. They just care about forwarding Marxism. That's all they care about. And as we showed earlier on, that means that they care about bringing forth hate and of course, making a lot of money along the way for their leaders. And, of course, nothing for their followers whom they dupe into following them, because again, they claim that they care. That's the long and the short of it here. And we're going to continue to use Edmund Burke's statement because it is true. Evil will prevail if people do nothing. And that's why Jeff coined the phrase for this year, this is the year to resist. And that's why we're going to continue to do that. Jeff, is there anything out of chat before we go on to our next?
No, it's very quiet tonight. It's unusual because he's normally got a few things to say, but Bigfoot's not around, so sadly, you know. But that is the way it is, and it's just I'm so glad to see Duck in the chat. You know, it's just nice to look back and forth just to see if he's making any comments. So I know he's listening to us, and we're giving you the thumbs up anyway, boy. If you just want to listen to what we're doing, we thank you. Back to you, Dave.
Well, all right. And the next story we're going to do, Jeff, I told you about this one. It's pretty awful, all right? This kind of goes along, even though I never intended for this to do that, but this kind of goes along with tonight's theme in a way. It's not about racism, but it is about the kind of attitude that the left engenders in the people that follow along with it. Okay? This story is from the 30th of last month, and I'm going to go ahead and play it. It's about 2.5 minutes long. You're listening to the English Feds League Radio Show.
Another socialized healthcare scandal, NHS staff locked autistic woman in room for almost a month, by Peter Cattle on September 30, 2022. Staff at an NHS socialized healthcare facility in the UK have come under scrutiny with abuse allegations emerging after an undercover investigation, with an autistic woman alleged to have been locked in a small room for almost a month. An undercover report into a socialized mental health hospital in the UK has claimed that staff routinely mistreat vulnerable patients, with one autistic woman in a small room for almost a month. The facility, which is located in the English town of Prestwich, is run by the publicly funded Greater Manchester Mental Health NHS Foundation Trust, an organization paid for by the UK taxpayer. According to the BBC, which ran the undercover investigation, staff at the hospital are said to have been seen slapping or pinching patients. The broadcaster also described some workers as joking about patients self-harming. The news agency's undercover reporter also reportedly saw workers restrain patients unnecessarily, with some in the facility's care being unlucky enough to be put into isolation for weeks, and sometimes even months. One autistic woman was reportedly forced to spend 27 days in isolation, while staff reportedly claimed that another woman had spent over a year locked up by the organization. The broadcaster claims that such isolation measures should be used for short periods to prevent immediate harm, with the facility's isolation rooms only consisting of a shower, a bed, and a toilet. To make matters worse, when one patient subjected to isolation asked for additional comforts, including a blanket and some teddy bears. One member of staff told her she was lucky she had not got a straw fucking bed in there. "I give you a straw bed like cows have to sleep on," the staff member reportedly said. The BBC reports that the Greater Manchester Police has now opened a criminal investigation. Follow Peter Cattle on Twitter, @Peter_Cattle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
Okay, my blood is boiling. Welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff?
I can't believe that I'm living a time where people talk to people who are subject to the most inhuman ways possible and asking for comfort and told you're very lucky you're not sleeping on a straw bed. How disgraceful. Heads must roll. Whoever's in charge, I don't care who it is, they got to go, and those above them who know what's going on, everybody's got to go. There should be no sweeping it under the carpet. We've got it. We know it's out there. Now, the authorities and whoever who's investigating this, kick those bastards out of their jobs. Put people in who care about people. It's disgraceful. It's upset me to think that this actually goes on. What in my country? The people are treated inhuman. This is disgraceful. Yes, as I say, this is something, maybe we'll revisit this in a little while, because I am fuming, and I don't want to get, because I'm not feeling too great. I would really let rip. But I would just say, heads need to roll. And I'm putting it out, I'm saying, hey, heads need to roll. Jobs need to be lost. Police, investigate it, and if you need to, people have been doing this, put the bastards away in prison. Do your jobs. Back to you, Dave.
Jeff, and yeah, I don't blame you, because it is infuriating. You see, this is the 21st century, right? And people should no longer be treated as if this was Bedlam and the year 1850, okay? Yes, some of these people are difficult to deal with, particularly people with autism and some mental disabilities. They're difficult to deal with. I acknowledge that. And I think anyone with any kind of knowledge of people with disabilities will acknowledge that. But the fact is, they're people. They're human beings. They deserve to have some human consideration. But this is what happens. Compassion. Thank you. This is what happens when you have a system that's government-funded, and you have people in that system that just think they can do whatever they want, and there will be no consequences. This reminds me a lot, Jeff, of what happened in the 1970s at the Florida School for the Deaf and the Blind in the United States, when a young woman, a young deaf-blind woman, was burned to death in a shower there.
Oh,
yes, they held an investigation, but did anyone go to jail? No. Was anyone demoted? No. Did anyone miss a day of work without pay? No. It was just done, and it was over, and it was actually approved. The Florida School for the Deaf and the Blind still got a certification of good operation from the, at the time, National Accreditation Council for Agencies Serving the Blind and Visually Handicapped, NAC, which are a bunch of very self-centered people who were just working for money. I'm not going to say what they really were, all right? Because, again, I don't want to go on a rant and send my blood pressure up. But these kinds of things, there has to be oversight. There has to be real oversight, and if there isn't, then it needs to be implemented, because it's the taxpayers of the UK that are paying for this horror, and it has to stop. It has to stop wherever it happens around the world. And I know there are going to be some people who might send us messages and things and say, "Well, this happens all over the place." It should happen no place. Understand
exactly.
that. It should happen no place. Okay,
we should have human compassion. This is it. Being a part of the human society, compassion. People have got problems. We take that, you know, as a norm. That is happening. But at the same time, you can use compassion and you can look after these people without getting so stressed out or getting them stressed out. You know what I'm saying? That's just what I'm saying, Dave. It's human compassion for another human being. Even because they got problems. That's it. Back to you, Dave.
And you're right, Jeff. And that's what happens when you have out of control government. Right? And government that just allows itself and its minions to do whatever they want to their citizens. Yes, these people are mentally disabled. Yes, they may have autism, but they're citizens of your damn country. And I say this to the people in the hospitals here in the United States, too, and everywhere else. They're your citizens. Treat them right. Now,
well,
Dave, too much more.
I'm nodding my head, and I'll salute you for what you said there, because it needs to be said. And I can hear the passion in your voice talking about it, Dave, and it's good to know that we, people like ourselves, many millions of us out there feel exactly the same and know something needs to be sorted out. You know, if there's a commission that's going to sort it out, do it properly. And, you know, don't bury it under the carpet. If people are found to have been doing these crimes, it is a crime what they've done. They need to spend time in prison, maybe hard time prison. Maybe that would make them respect few people, human beings. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. Okay. Yeah, that was a hard one to do, folks. I'm going to keep an eye out. I'm going to keep an eye out on that one, guys. And if it comes up again, we will have a follow-up. That's a promise from me to you. Now, for our last story here, we're going to go to the silly side of government, really. This next story is just stupid. And it shows, once again, what happens when you have a government that is so concerned with political correctness and everything that they're no longer fit for purpose. Jeff, do we have anything out of the chat before I run this 4-minute story, brother?
It's the one moment. Oh, there you go, Duck. He's made some comments. I miss Big. That's it. I knew it. He said, I miss Bigfoot. I hope he's okay. I agree with you. Now that is why we find that Duck, he's missing Bigfoot. Yeah, with a little commentary between them. So I was wondering why. Thanks for giving that a bit of a heads up there. Yes, I hope he's well, Duck. He might be just having doing something with the family or something or other brother. But thanks for that comment. And we, for myself and Dave, feel the same. But you've got us anyway, so any comments you want to make, you know you're welcome. We love having you here, brother. With that, Dave, back to you.
All right, Jeff. And before I run this story, I just want to say we've had a Sunday or two now, and I don't want to let this one go by without giving congratulations to the people of Italy for electing Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, and you know, who is a champion of God and country. That's what she says, and she has been called by the popular media, the big media, another Mussolini, extreme right wing, all this kind of stuff, which just means that there's actually hope that she's going to do good for the Italian people, and I'm going to be watching her closely. And seeing what she and her government...
That's why they voted her in, Dave. They wanted a change, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I'm going to be watching her and her government just to see if she's real, you know, because we know that there's a lot of difference between talk and action. But if it is real, then that's going to be an asset and a good thing for the Italian people. So, for now, Prime Minister Meloni and the people of Italy, congratulations. I don't know what congratulations
is. From Little Acorns Day. They say from Little Acorns.
And there you go. There you go. So, folks, congratulations. Now, I'm going to run this one last story, and then it's going to be time for us to go, Jeff. We've got about 10 minutes left on the show.
Yeah, I know, man. The time just goes. It's like a blink of an eye, isn't it, when we do these shows, though? There's so much information, so many points we're going to put over there. But, yeah, carry on, please, though. It's been great night, actually.
Isn't it? All right. We're going to go ahead and run this show. And again, this is the just the silly side of government that makes you want to just roll your eyes and maybe even vomit. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Focus on catching criminals. UK police criticized after ordering public to not misgender trans pedophile. By Peter Catalan, September 28, 2022. The central UK government got involved after a regional police force attracted attention for demanding the public not misgender a transgender pedophile convicted abusing of 7 children. Members of the general public were ordered by the Sussex police on Tuesday not to target the sexual identity of a trans pedophile convicted of abusing 7 children. The force has since retracted the order after criticism from the country's new Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, who said police forces should focus on catching criminals and not denying biology. According to a report on the matter by The Times, the police force wrote on social media that comments about convicted pedophile Sally Ann Dixon, who previously went by John, were not to be tolerated. Dixon is reported as being found guilty of 30 historic offenses against children ranging from age 6 to 15, being sentenced to 20 years in prison. Sussex police do not tolerate any hateful comments towards their gender identity regardless of crimes committed. The force wrote on social media, describing such a gender identity as being irrelevant to the crime that has been committed and investigated. It reportedly went on to tell one netizen that if they had so-called gender-critical views, that they should express their opinions on other platforms. The statements were met by outrage from many online, culminating with UK Secretary Suella Braverman criticizing the force for playing identity politics. Sussex police have done well to put a dangerous criminal behind bars, the Tory party politician wrote online. But they've got it wrong by playing identity politics and denying biology, she continued, before saying that they should instead focus on catching criminals and not policing pronouns. The police force then proceeded to delete their original tweets, before putting up a statement apologizing for their comments, which they described as being inconsistent with our usual style of engagement, a move that Braverman welcomed. I acknowledge and thank Sussex Police for their swift apology and retraction, she said. The best police officers focus on solving crimes and supporting victims, not political correctness. Seemingly as a result of radical sexual politics that now appears endemic in British institutions, there has been a systematic push to have the so-called gender identity recognized, even sometimes at the expense of their victims. For example, the UK government only recently conceded that it was a bad idea to house transgender male prisoners with women after a number of incidents involving such prisoners having sexual relations, consensual and otherwise, with fellow inmates. To make matters worse, under UK law, prisoners who refused to recognize the preferred gender of their fellow inmates ran the risk of being disciplined, up to and including having their prison term extended. Such pro-transgenderism sentiment is not just prominent within the UK's justice system, however, with the state-owned BBC also frequently championing transgender ideology in its reporting. This attitude resulted in the broadcaster editing a statement made by a rape victim about their transgender attacker, with the news agency replacing all instances where the woman used male pronouns to gender-neutral ones so as to not misgender them. One feminist campaigner described the move as being really unethical and disrespectful to the victim, labeling it a form of gaslighting for a woman who has already been through sexual violence. Follow Peter Cattle on Twitter, @Peter_Cattle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your views.
Well, my view is political correctness is killing our nations and our countries. And my phone's about to die, I think, soon, Dave. and it just keeps making a beeping noise. That could be the batteries are going to do what they did last week. But yeah, I'm done with political correctness. I've been saying this for many years. PC needs to die totally. Let's get back to some sort of common ground and stop this stupidity, because it's messing our countries and nations up. I mean, can you believe that what story that was just on just a second ago, though? It's just, I just give it my head a wobble when I listen to stories like that now. Back to you, Dave.
Oh, yeah, it's a complete removal of reality, especially from a government agency that should be completely steeped in reality, which is a police force. They should be protecting the people, but instead they're going along with political correctness and all this trash. So, but Jeff, it's been a really great show. I think we've done some good work, and you know, you've been right up in there, and very much appreciate you. Very much appreciate Duck Northwest Media being in the chat. And Jeff, I am ready to play us out. I got to say though, we did get another postcard from the Jam. They're in South America. They're in Chile right now, and they're using those zip lines and going up and down the mountains there. You know, just having a really good time and enjoying themselves. But we do have Alex and the Bandits out here. They're just getting their stuff ready and they're throwing their pin. Throwing them at Jeff. All right, but they're ready to go, Jeff. Anytime you're ready to for them to play out, they're ready to play. If they
well, I'm
people,
ready because it just beeped the game on me. So, once again, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back again next week with another great show. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show as much as myself and Dave has been presenting this show to you. So thanks for listening to us, guys, wherever you might be, whatever part of the world you might be. And we'll see you again next week. Take care, stay safe, God bless you all. And don't forget, no surrender, ever. Dave, over to you, mate. Let them play us out.
All right, God bless everybody. Alex and the Bandits, hit it.
News of the world said we are hooligans. We're the only people to defend your rights. And I won't stand by and watch this country die. So roll Britannia with the
Mental.
Cheers, Alex. We'll see you again next week, brother. You take care. Just want to say, Dave, that Northwest Media's just made a comment. Give us a thumbs up. Saying much thanks and appreciation to all for the program. A great way to start off the week. See you next time. And I'll see right back at you, Duck Bro. So there you go, Dave. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio show. We're signing off for tonight, but guess what? We'll be back again next week. Okay, take care. Stay safe. God bless you. No surrender ever. God bless.